Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's a day that ends in Y, which means, of course, breaking NFL news. Tyreek Hill to the Dolphins. Plus, the Warriors get punked by the Magic. Their words, not mine. Knicks fans silenced by Trey. And we're all getting ghosted by Major League Baseball. Let's go around the horn. Starting in the NFL, Tyreek Hill's time in Kansas City has come to an end, despite an offer from the Chiefs that would have made him one of the highest paid receivers in the league. After requesting permission to seek a trade, Adam Schefter is reporting that Hill has been sent to the Miami Dolphins for 5 draft picks, 2022 first, second, and fourth round picks, as well as fourth and sixth round picks in the 2023 draft. And Miami immediately paying him a 4-year, $120 million extension. Mina, you can approach this from the Chiefs side or Tyreek's side or the Dolphins side, but I need you to explain this to me either way.
Well, I'll start with the Chiefs side because I think that's the one that probably requires the most explanation, that feels the most puzzling because, of course, Tyreek Hill is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. I mean, since coming into the league, he has led all receivers in yards after the catch and touchdowns on vertical routes. And also he affects the offense in ways that can't be captured in statistics. It's similar, his impact on spacing is similar to what we would call gravity in basketball, where it opens up opportunities for other receivers on the field. It's frankly astounding. That said, I don't think this is indefensible for Kansas City, especially after seeing the contract that Tyreek Hill got from Miami. The Chiefs roster is very top-heavy, so they got a lot of mouths to feed, and they actually have some surprising holes. I think they looked at what Tyreek Hill wanted, felt it was a contract that might not age well because he is such a speed-oriented wide receiver. They wanted to get younger and cheaper, and while it may not work out, you can understand it from a long-term perspective.
June, do you understand it from the Chiefs, or do you want to take the side of the Dolphins?
Yeah, I totally get where the Chiefs are coming from because when you have almost $60 million hypothetically wrapped up in just Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill, there's not a lot of money left to spread out across the roster. General Manager Brett Veach talked about wanting to improve that defensive line. They've improved that offensive line. They add a lot of depth there. They've made a lot of signs there over the course of free agency. And I think it's also the Chiefs doubling down on believing in Patrick Mahomes' ability to improve the offensive players around him. I think they want him to maximize the ability of Juju Smith-Schuster. Bekole Hardman had a better latter half of the season after week 15 into the AFC Championship game. I think they believe that he can improve as well. I think that this is a belief in Patrick Mahomes' ability to be kind of the next tier, top tier quarterback that maximizes the talent around him more so than a lot of other guys in that kind of top tier of NFL quarterback.
Yeah, we saw last year that a lot of teams were trying to take away that deep threat, particularly Tyreek Hill, and that the Chiefs had to adjust. KB, what do you make of this trade?
I'm concerned about it if I'm a Chiefs fan. I mean, in Tyreek Hill, not only do you lose one of the most explosive receivers in the game, but you also lose the guy who made the Kansas City team explosive. Here's a guy, 1,000 yards, 4 of his 6 years, 1,400 yards the year that Mahomes was MVP in the league, 44% of the receptions last year. This is a huge, huge chunk of their offense, and I just don't know how you replace that or how you adjust that. I understand what June's saying. You want to spread the money around. You got to improve other parts of this team. But, you know, you're talking about a team that won the Super Bowl 2 years ago, right? 3 years ago, doing it this way, lost the Super Bowl 2 years ago, didn't get to the Super Bowl last year. I'd be concerned if I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan about which direction we're going.
Yeah, for a long time we talked about the embarrassment of weapons for the Chiefs. This was always a big part of that. What do you make of this deal, Lyles?
I'm really interested in this from a Dolphins perspective. You've got Mike McDaniel, first-year head coach, coming in, and he's really addressed almost every single weakness that this Dolphins offense has had. The line was one of the worst when it came to pass blocking. They added Teron Armstead, which, honestly, I don't know that people made a big enough deal about that signing. They also added Connor Williams. And then if you also look in the backfield, they added Raheem Mostert. And when you put a guy like Tyreek Hill next to Jaylen Waddle, you are really spacing out the field in a way that now, to me, the attention turns to Tua Tagovailoa, because you've got all the pieces around you now. And if you are Mike McDaniel, you're looking at the situation and going, I've put all the pieces around you. I'm going to find out whether or not you are my franchise quarterback or not this year.
Mina, this is obviously a huge part of what the Dolphins are doing here. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I mean, first I'll say I agree with Harry. This gives them the opportunity to truly evaluate Tua Tagovailoa. Because the first, you know, couple seasons, you could say, well, the offensive line was so bad. Can you really, you know, criticize him? You can criticize him now if he fails with this complement of receivers and this offensive line that's vastly improved. I have seen some skepticism about Tua's ability to stretch the field with Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle the way Patrick Mahomes did. Patrick Mahomes did with Tyreek Hill, rather. His arm strength is not there. But I'll say, horizontally, now they can stretch the field too. I mean, both of those wide receivers are tremendous at getting yards after the catch. They're good with RPOs. We've seen that with Hill in Kansas City. And I think this gives the Dolphins a really strong opportunity to improve their offense.
One element to consider, Tyreek Hill, the off-the-field issue is not completely absent during his time with the Chiefs. Something to think about as he heads to Miami. Moving on, with Steph Curry nursing a foot injury, the Warriors lost 94-90 to the Magic Tuesday night. Curry, the latest Warrior to miss a slew of games, and Golden State is 2-6 without him this season. After the game, Draymond Green.
I think we're playing soft. We're playing stupid. It's just not playing good basketball, and we're getting pumped. It's hard to win a game getting pumped. That's kind of where we are right now.
Soft, stupid, punked. KB, what is your level of concern for Golden State?
Well, I'd be very concerned, but I don't know that soft is the answer I would come up with. I mean, they gave up 94 points. You're supposed to win a basketball game like that if you're the Warriors. But I'd be concerned over the long haul. That's their eighth loss in their last 12 outings. And one of the people that jumps out to me in all of this really is Klay Thompson. He's not been very good in the month of March. I think he's shooting 40%, 33% from the three-point line. This is a team that scorches you on offense. They're not able to do it. And right now, you know, they just can't stay healthy. Draymond comes back. Steph is out again. Steph comes back. Draymond's not playing. They've got to all get on the same page, and they do not have enough time, I don't think, to do that.
Ooh, concern high for Blackstone. How about you, Harry?
Yeah, I think for me the concern is at the very least moderate. The thing about the Warriors is they are a very good team, but they are a very efficient team in the ways that they are good. And that's the reason you hear the frustration coming from Draymond making bad fouls, not making the right passes. Because when they are clicking their ball movement, you have a lot of pieces that you can plug and play to where you should be able to survive without a Stephen Curry. So the fact that they looked as bad as they did last night and played down to the level of the Orlando Magic is a cause of concern. Last night was Gary Payton II's first game back. He's going to really help them defensively once he gets his win back. But I think that it would be kind of crazy to say that there shouldn't be a measure of concern here with Golden State when it comes to that.
All right, we've got pretty concerned, a measure of concern. Are we willing to go threat level orange, Mina?
Yes.
Okay.
I think Draymond captured the correct level of concern, not with the quote we just watched, but with another one where he said, no disrespect to the Magic, but they're one of the worst teams in the NBA, which, first of all, anytime you start a sentence with no disrespect, you know you're going to say something insanely disrespectful, but unfortunately, it is also true. Kevin talked about, you know, the Warriors not necessarily being soft being the issue, and I agree. The issue is that without Steph Curry, the offense stinks. They're actually 25th in the NBA in offensive rating when Steph Curry is not on the floor. Klay Thompson has been inconsistent. I thought Andrew Wiggins really struggled last night. And the shot creation just isn't there without Steph.
No disrespect to you, June, but we're coming to you last on this one. What are your thoughts?
I mean, to build off of Mina, the Warriors are scoring about 7.5 points less per 100 possessions without Steph on the court right now. And it's not just that Steph is injured, it's that Draymond Green is dealing with a back injury that has hobbled a lot of NBA players, not just in the near term, but over the course of a longer period of time. And Klay Thompson has been really, really up and down. This is not the same Warriors team that we saw in January that had a lot of depth, that looked really explosive offensively, that was shooting around the basketball really well, that had really great passing chemistry on the court. This is not that same team. They look like a team right now that's behind the Suns, that's behind the Bucks, that's behind the Nets in terms of the top tier teams that can win an NBA championship right now. Because when you have the top three guys on this team that aren't playing at full strength, it's hard to imagine the Warriors making a deep run in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, moving on to baseball. There will again be a ghost runner on second base beginning in the 10th inning of all regular season extra inning games. It will be an actual person, not a ghost. Also, expanded rosters by two players for the month of April because of the shortened spring. And a new quote-unquote Shohei Ohtani rule with the universal DH so that if the starting pitcher is also hitting in the lineup, he can remain in the game as the DH even if he's pulled out of the game as a starting pitcher. June, we come to you first. This is your account. Do these rules make the game better?
I think that it's better for us to get home a little bit earlier when we're having a June-April extra inning game that goes 4.5 hours. So I'm perfectly fine with that, and that might offend some baseball traditionals. I think the more interesting rule is what's happening with Shohei Ohtani, because it is what affects him, just him, really, right now. But I do wonder if there's a shifting perspective around baseball around two-way players, because there's been more guys talking about maybe training that way, developing their players that way, and this could be a really useful rule for teams to start to be a little bit more progressive in thinking about how they can maximize spots on that roster.
And we should always commend the MLB when they're forward-thinking. It's a rarity, usually. Blackstone, what do you make of these rules?
Well, this will be the first ghost I've ever seen since we're going to have a ghost runner. I'm not in favor of it. I like just playing the game out, but I completely understand it, and everybody in baseball is actually for the ghost runner. As far as the Ohtani rule, I love that for the reasons that June just pointed out. You know, the Negro Leagues used to celebrate two-way players. I mean, they had a guy named Double Duty Radcliffe because he played two things, right? Two different positions. So I think this is a great thing. It'll show off the athleticism that baseball players really have that they don't often get to show. So good for that rule, too.
All right, Harry Lyles, do you like these rules?
Sarah, to your point, I am surprised that MLB is progressive enough to make a rule for Ohtani to where they can get more of one of their best players that they have to showcase in the game. I love that. I don't love the ghost runner. I feel like, hey, like we've been talking about games being too long in Major League Baseball when the games were 2 hours long. So that's something that we've just never been happy about. But I also feel like that I don't like it in the same way that college football overtime gets gimmicky. Like, I feel like it doesn't go with the course of the game, and the purpose should not be to get out sooner. It is to finish the game in the way that it should.
Mina Kimes, you here for the ghost runners?
The youngest panelist, I think, maybe June is younger, but going old school, get off my lawn, Harry. I like the Ohtani role a little bit more than I like the ghost runner role, but I'll say this. Neither of them are a huge deal. As June mentioned, Ohtani's one of one, and these super long games, there really aren't that many of them. So I think with both of these rule changes, it's a pretty small sample size and much ado about nothing.
You guys like the name ghost runner? Do we have other ideas?
Love
it's a person, not a ghost. What else could we call it? Zombie runner?
Let me go home and sleep.
Zombie runner. That's what I'm going to go with. That's your horn. Here's your break. Buy or sell next.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Buy or sell, the peculiar year of Zion Williamson. Rehabbing away from the team for most of it, recently returning to New Orleans, and then yesterday, a dramatic return to the gram with this 3-second clip that definitely was better than the entire dunk contest. And now, today, cleared by the team to do one-on-one work, and video from reporter Andrew Lopez of Zion working with Pel's development coach Corey Brewer and dunking on, or near him. It was an adjacent dunk. Harry, lots of updates to parse through here. Where are you today on all things Zion?
Sarah, I am buying that this is part of the recovery process, and the fact that we are seeing videos like this mean that he is moving in the right direction. So if nothing else, it's good to see Zion back out on a basketball floor, but also I think all my panelists would agree, if you could dunk between your legs like that, I'd put it on my Instagram too.
Yeah, 100%. I also wouldn't be here. Blackestone, what'd you make of it?
You know, the only video I think I want to see, and maybe Pelicans fans want to see, is him on a court dunking on people when you get 2 points on the scoreboard. Mm-hmm. I'm still really concerned about, you know, the future of this guy's career, and this just doesn't move me very much.
June, you're a young person who knows why young people do young people things. What's he trying to say with this post?
Well, I think this is an instance of him leaning into what made him famous, which was social media. And I think we're nearing the point where we need more substance from Zion, because we all know that he's got the talent to be an NBA superstar. We've seen him average 27 points a game last season in 60-something games. This is an instance where he got famous really quickly, like a lot of Disney Channel stars, but he's got to have the commitment to want to be an NBA superstar. And we haven't seen that from the way that he's investing in his teammates to him just investing in himself and his body to stay on the court as much as possible.
Okay, Mina, is this Miley being Miley, or is this something else?
I think it is him not trying to be famous, but rather trying to play. It's no coincidence to me that that first Instagram video came out a day after it was reported that he was shut down for the season. I saw it as an act of quiet rebellion. Well, I guess not quiet because he has 5 million Instagram followers, but it was him trying to send a message that he wants to get back on the court. And while I share KB's, you know, trepidation about all of this, I do think it's promising that he has the desire to get back out there.
Well, I guess KB gets the point then. Also, I'm surprised that no one talked about how he was technically not cleared to shoot while jumping, but then he posted that dunk. I was like, there was some updates in the middle that we never got. Let's get to tennis. A shocking announcement last night from world number one Ash Barty, who posted a video announcing her retirement at the age of just 25. Barty, just 2 months removed from winning the Australian Open for her third Grand Slam singles title, saying it was time to chase other dreams. Quote, I don't have the physical drive, the emotional want, and everything it takes to challenge yourself at the very top of the level anymore. I am spent. Barty held the number one ranking for the last 114 straight weeks and had won 25 of her past 26 matches and 3 of her last 4 events. How do you hear Barty's decision to go out on top, KB?
You know, I love it. I love when people do what they want to do. And if she wants to go out like that for right now, that's fine. I have to point out, this is not the first time that she's walked away from tennis. She did it, I believe, as a junior, went and played pro cricket for a couple years, and then came back to tennis. So maybe we have not seen the last of Ash Barty.
The door is ajar. June, what do you make of this?
I mean, I'm envious of this. If you're 25 years old and you won 20-something million dollars, like, you might as well go out if you are satisfied with the amount of winning that you've had so far in your career. I do think it's interesting, though, that there's been a lot of women's tennis players, and this is probably emblematic of the sports culture, you know, going out talking about the amount of pressure on them, the amount of scrutiny that they have on them, which is different from them what happens in the men's game. Because as we all know, women just get a higher level of scrutiny than men do on not just the, you know, just the day-to-day lives we have, but also on the tennis court as well.
Mina, I can't imagine you know anything about that. Does this scream just about Ash Barty, or maybe a bigger picture for the game?
I do think it's bigger picture. You know, what June just described, the level of pressure and burnout in women's tennis in particular, that's always been there. It was what Richard Williams was concerned about with his daughters, if you remember. And to be 25 and have that level of self-awareness, recognizing that you might face that and choosing to take a different path, I think it's incredibly mature. I applaud it. And I do hope, I'll say this, I do hope, though, at some point she returns, because she's so good and fun.
Yeah, it's tough. You're like, I feel good for her, but also like, oh, I'd like to watch a bit more. Harry Lyles, what do you make of this?
I'm really just happy for her to have the confidence to go out there and say, hey, I've had enough. I spent 114 consecutive weeks at number one. I made over $23 million. I'm going to go enjoy my life. And yeah, if she wants to come back and play more tennis, she could do it and probably do it at a very high level. I'm just happy that she felt comfortable enough to be able to make this decision, because we know she's going to hear it from a bunch of people. Why would you do it at the top of your game? You have so much more money to make, this, that, and the other, when she clearly played for the love of the game, and now she's going to be able to go enjoy her life.
Completely agree. One last thought from you, KB.
Yeah, and you know, she's an Indigenous woman, and she's been a tremendous inspiration to Indigenous people in her country. So great for her. I'm glad that people are finally paying attention to Ash Barty rather than forgetting about her, because really she had been one of the quietest champions I think we've seen in women's tennis in a long time.
Favorite around the game. Favorites around here, both Mina and Harry Lyles Jr., unfortunately not favorites to win this show. That is going to come down to Jun Lee and KB. Showdown coming up next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Historically, this is like a grit and grind type of blue-collar organization. We're trying to keep that tradition.
Keep the urgency, one possession at a time.
Together on three, one, two, three.
That is a very fancy way of telling us that we've got Nets Grizzlies tonight. Let's think beyond this matchup, though. Which team goes deeper in the playoffs, KB?
I still think it's got to be the Grizzlies, just because they have less question marks. Ja Morant, a little banged up right now, but that's just temporary. They don't have part-time players and all that kind of stuff. Come on, it's got to be the Grizzlies.
June?
I've got the Nets. I mean, Kevin Durant is still Kevin Durant. Why are we beating around the bush here? He's still one of the best scorers in basketball. He's a guy who can lead a team to a championship regardless of who's around him.
I agree with June, but you both made compelling points, so a point for each of you. Sticking with hoops, Trae Young back at the Garden for the first time since last season when he bounced the Knicks from the playoffs and punctuated his Broadway debut with a bow. Last night, 45 points in a fourth quarter comeback that all but assures the Knicks will be in the lottery. Insult meet insult. Trae on the crowd noise. Quote, it wasn't even that loud, to be honest with you. Savage. Jude, is Trae versus New York one of the best rivalries in the NBA?
It reminds me of like a bad romantic comedy where, you know, the part where people love each other and hate each other are really close to each other in the brain. And I feel like a 34-year-old Trae Young going to the Knicks seems like a kind of plausible reality that could play out in the future.
KB, how about you?
Is it really a rivalry given that everybody comes to see him and he's torching everybody? Come on, that's not much of a rivalry. I come to see Trae Young. I love him. I'm the only panelist on this show that wears Trae Young next level. So come on.
All right, I don't care about that. The points are for saying the truth. June is negative points for once again bringing up an athlete going to the Knicks. It never actually happened. Stop talking about it. KB, take the face off.
I haven't been a big fan of NIL just because it doesn't break the model where you generate all this money and you still don't get to share in it. But Adidas just cut a new deal, an NIL deal, for every player at D1 who wears Adidas stuff, and they're going to get paid for certain things that they do. I think this could be the beginning of breaking the model, because maybe they'll start funneling some of that money to the athletes.
Agree, and yet another example of this helping women athletes in colleges, what we said it would do all along. 23 and a half hour break.